Hey, this is Brandon Curry, IFBB Pro, and you're listening to Advices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try any of this at home.
All right, guys, welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally. Of course, I am with Skip Hill. We've got S2H over there in the corner if you're watching the video. And, today we've got special guest with us, Dylan Armbrust. Guys, we've had Dylan on before. I'm sure you guys remember that episode. If not, go back to the audio podcasts. You know, we're on video now. If you haven't been tuning in yet, go over to Think Big Bodybuilding Media over at YouTube, and that's where you can find all the video shows now. So definitely, if you haven't subscribed, it should be available in all of our posts. You go straight over to YouTube and start following the shows. That's where this one's going to be after we release it, the final edited version with all the bells and whistles, the music, and everything else. So first of all, Dylan, thank you so much for being back with us, brother. Much appreciated.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's always great talking to you guys, and always a good chuckle with Skip.
He knows you, Skip.
Well, you know, the more I think about it, Dylan has been on the show a couple times now, and he's willing to do video and show his face. I'm just wondering, how long is S2H's contract? I'm not sure if... I'm just asking. No.
It's a good point.
Remember, Skip, I will be seeing you this week, so you better be kind.
Yeah, you've said that several times before, though, and it never...
I will be seeing you.
...comes to fruition. I don't know how far down my chest you can see, but I've got water up to my nipples.
Really?
Yeah.
You got?
I don't
the,
know how I still have power, actually.
What's going on? Seriously. So you have a hurricane coming. Does this hurricane have a name?
Yeah. It does. Hurricane Dorian.
No, you're kidding me.
No, it's totally cool if you think about it. And I know Dylan is thinking the same thing. Okay, we might think of Yates, but we're thinking of like our Dorian. I mean,
Dorian Haywood.
He's got to be having fun with that, right?
Right.
Hurricane Dorian. He's a Category 5. Anyway, yeah, it's fucking brutal. It's not supposed to be or make landfall in Florida, but these things are so unpredictable. They don't know for sure. I mean, the models are usually right and shit, but they've been wrong before. So it's supposed to come close to the coast, turn north, and everybody's like, oh, then you'll be fine. We will be fine, but it's still going to wreak havoc as far as, you know, storm surge and flooding and massive amounts of rain. It's literally moving at 5 miles an hour.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, the slower they move, the more. Sit over there, Texas boy, with your fucking one hurricane every 3 years and be quiet. I hear you. I'm a hurricane meteorologist for the Weather Center. I'm waiting for Skip to quit talking, and I'm going to give my 2 cents. Anyway, point is it's still going to be brutal no matter what. But it's funny because right now it's really fucking nice out, and people are out with their yappy-ass fucking dogs walking up and down the street, and everyone's out on their balconies. The cat above us is opening and closing his sliding glass door every fucking 2 minutes, 24 hours a day, like he usually does. So it's just typical now. So nothing's really going to happen or even begin to happen until at least late tomorrow night.
No kidding. Well, we're glad that we have you. Initially, we were afraid that everything was going to melt down, and we had decided that, like, if there really was a hurricane, you know, that was happening, like, during the show, what we had decided, Dylan, was we were going to send Skip outside and do the thing the way, like, the weather reporters do, where they're, like, standing out in the winds and all that. We were going to, like, watch him blow away live on the show. It would have been great, man.
I told my wife, I said, I still, you know, I told the guys on the show I was going to go outside and do the weatherman thing, but I'm like, it's really nice out. She goes, well, you could act like the wind is blowing really hard and I could spit on you from off camera. What is that? But she, you know, was just trying to be helpful, I guess, but it's nice. There's really nothing to report. The only thing I really have to do, we're all prepared. I got to move my cars across the street to the parking garage over there because it's completely enclosed because I'm not fucking around with my
get on the second floor.
Exactly. I want to be in the middle because right now I'm on the third, which is kind of half open, half not, but I'm not dealing with that shit. Plus what's happening, and this is all kind of new to me because, you know, I don't, this apartment thing is different. And what happens is people in situations like this, they will go to enclosed parking garages and get their fucking car in and park it there and be like, fuck it. Okay, boot it. I'd rather pay the $100 or $60 to have my car safe.
Oh, yeah.
So people are parking in reserve spots that you pay, you know, a couple hundred bucks for, you know, each. They don't give a fuck. They're like, oh, I'm worried about my my car, not your fucking car.
That's like worth the $200 ticket or whatever.
Exactly. And incredibly selfish and narcissistic, but go figure.
Yeah.
So when that happens, I expect a bodybuilder to get out of the car. But anyway. So we just said last couple things. But other than that, I mean, we got plenty of food and stuff like it. The question is whether we're going to lose power and internet, and with the power goes air conditioning. So it'll be a new, you know, new thing. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I just did a quick search for the programs on Advices Radio. So we did the episode with Dylan last time he was on was Blood, Sweat, and Gear episode 39. We're almost on episode 70 now. That was July 13th, 2018. So it's been a little while since we've had you on, Dylan. I do want to make just like a quick little intro. You know, I did mention you a little bit at the very beginning, but you know, I want to say for anybody that hadn't listened to that old episode, for anybody who's been under a rock in bodybuilding, Dylan Armbrust, the creator of Armbrust Pro Gym out in Denver, Colorado, Skip's old stomping grounds, not to mention home of IFBB Pro and Mr. Olympia, Phil Heath. Who else is out there? Heather Grace is out there. We've got Dorian Haywood has his office out of there. You know, we've talked to Brent Wilkin on the show. Ivana Ivusic is out there. Man, you guys are just, you've got so many good bodybuilders at that gym. I've heard that the energy is just amazing to like for training and for focusing there.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a great place. I still love it just as much as the day I, you know, opened it. It's a lot of work, but I think it's kind of like something I was meant to do. So, you know, I'm just a gym rat at heart, and I always will be. So, you know, as long as my tennis shoes are treading across the gym floor every day, I'm pretty much happy. So, you know, if it's, you know, it's tough to manage a lot of egos in there, you know, at times, but, you just stay true to yourself, and you kind of, you know, as old as Skip and I are now, you know, approaching 50, you've seen it all come, you've seen it all go. I've seen the best of the best. Nothing's gonna
literally
wow me really too much, but you know, I'm really respectful of how hard these people work, and it creates great energy in the gym every day for sure.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't mention Adam Young either. He's over there as well, and every time I see that guy, seems like he's getting bigger.
Adam's, you know, he just works every day. Him and Dorian, they walk around the gym with big fucking bowls in their hands all day, just stuffing their face, you know, training their clients. It's pretty funny, but they're all good guys.
That's pretty badass. Skip, that must have been quite an experience when you, I mean, you didn't go there all the time, right? But that was close to you. You would head in and train over there?
Yeah, I couldn't go for quite a few years because I was taking all my rotten ass kids to the daycare. So I had to have a daycare at the gym to change diapers and stuff like that. Kids get in the way of your goals a lot of times. I'm just giving you a heads up on that. Selfish little bastards. No, when I could, though, when we moved up to, because I lived in Aurora, which is on, Dylan knows, but nobody else does. It's on the east side and you know, Armbrust is on the west side. So when I moved to Evergreen, I got to the west side. Then I could spend more time over there, and the kids weren't young. I didn't have to take them with me. It was fucking great. But, you know, it's funny because I don't know how to explain this, really, if you haven't been there. But when you walk through the door, I think I'm pretty sure it alters your DNA. Like your your genetic, like potential, I guess is a good way to put it, just changes. And I say that laughingly, but sometimes I've wondered, I'm like, why the gym didn't, and I would ask Dylan this if he agrees or not, the gym didn't like create pros out of people with less genetic, you know, predisposition than anybody else. They happened to be there, but how did they get there to that gym? Clearly there's some component of that gym and the environment that feeds. So it has pulled in people with a genetic predisposition to be better than everybody else as far as turning pro and being a better bodybuilder, a better competitor. But then from there has been able to fuel basically their passion and everything. And these people come together. It's, I don't, I really can't explain it. I mean, I'm sure Phil was a big draw originally. Sure. So people wanted to come there and say, but you know, when you mention the pros, and you have to be there to really know, like, there's so many fucking people that come through there, the MMA guys and the strongmen, and it's fucking crazy. Competitors you've never heard of, like, oh, you're a fucking pro, I don't even know your name, sorry, no disrespect, but yeah, you know, figure pros, physique pro, everybody goes there. It's fucking crazy.
That's cool, man. That is cool. So
I went there before.
You did? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know, Dylan, I think it was 2008. You guys just opened.
Yeah.
You hadn't been open that long, right?
Yep, that we opened in March of 2008.
Yeah, it was 2008. I was working up there. We went there, some guys and I. It was just near gym to where we're at. It was pretty nice. I liked it.
It wasn't much back then, but it was still, you know, like Skip mentioned, it still just had kind of that, you know, that mystique energy of like, okay, you walk in and you just know it's time to kick it in gear and go.
That's cool. Yeah, it was a real gym, what we call a real gym.
Yeah,
and there aren't many of them around anymore. I mean, it's the garage doors, you know, that open up. It's the lack of any, you know, neon, and it's, you know, different pieces. Not everything is the same color and uniform and symmetrical, because it's not supposed to be. But it's difficult to find those types of gyms anymore, because they're typically not very successful against the franchise, the larger corporate gyms.
Sure.
But Dylan's able to do that because it's such a niche, yeah, bodybuilding, you know. I mean, there's what's the closest badass gym to Denver? There's nothing around fucking Denver. I mean, you got Wyoming, you got Nebraska, no offense to anybody living in those states, but you got to go quite a ways to really get. So you got the East Coast, the West Coast, and Mile High. I mean there's your, yeah, there are a lot of nice gyms in Texas. I agree, but it's still not close. I mean, it's a
bordering states.
It's a hike,
you
though.
Know what? Listen, I didn't even get a chance to ask Dylan if he recognized you when you came into the gym with that fucking question mark on your face. So now I'm just gonna. It's like, oh, I don't remember seeing you. Oh, because no one fucking knows what you look like. But anyway,
I had my Def Leppard '80s half shirt on. You can't miss me.
That sounds like half of Arvada.
And before I forget, I got to say this, because I'm going to forget if I don't.
Yeah.
I have to get one of those yellow armbrust weightlifting belts. If you have a yellow one left.
Yeah, we get a bunch of new ones in.
Are they in the store? Is the store online? Or do I just call you and be like, come on, bro. I'll send you a fucking $100 or whatever, how much ever they cost. I don't even know how expensive they are. And I get all my shit free from Elite FTS, but I want one of them fucking armbrust. I want one of them armbrust fucking belts, man. And that yellow is badass. You guys, seriously, check out that store.
We'll get you a custom one made, Skip. You know? We don't sell anything online. We're going to do that this upcoming year, though. You know, we've been around for 12 years now, so we figured maybe there's enough people out there around that have heard of us, and maybe we can tap into that online, you know, clothing market a little bit.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people who would buy that apparel. Yeah. I don't put it up there with like the Gold's Gym and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, I remember being younger going, oh, man, you know, I can't get to this place, but I want to rep it. I want to, you know, have that name on me when I train. And I think Armbrust, I'm maybe a little biased because I've been there. Live there a little bit and know you, but I think it does. I think it carries that, you know, people, with the name comes the respect of the gym and the history and that sort of thing. So I think people want to be connected to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll see what happens. I just take everything with a grain of salt and go day by day, but definitely always looking to improve and step into new challenges and stuff like that. So I'm excited. We'll see what happens.
So is your hand in your pants, or is your hand under your sweatshirt? What the hell is going on? I saw a picture of you the other day, and you look really good, but I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm gaining on this month. And I'm like, no, he's injured. Fuck, I'm not gaining anything. What's going on?
Well, now that my arm's in a sling, it can be in my pants most of the time, and people won't notice, so it's really nice.
So is it a torn? What'd you do? What'd you have fixed? It's something fixed.
Well, it started about a year and a half ago when John Meadows came out and he did a seminar at the gym, you know, and it was a great time. And of course, you know, you're old, you shouldn't be keeping up with the young guys. And, you know, everybody's starting to lift weights, testosterone's flying. And I'm okay, let's do it. So I took the 140-pound dumbbells and tried to do a set of incline presses, which, you know, would have been no problem except for when I, you know, you kick them back. Yeah. As I kicked them back, my left rotator cuff tore and, like, shoulder just totally, like, just felt like it came out of its socket. So, obviously, it was partially torn before, and it just went all the way. And then, you know, I was in denial for about 6-7 months saying, oh, you know, I'll just see if it gets better. Never did. And then when we went and did an MRI, there was, you know, torn bicep in there. It was a bigger mess than I ever could have imagined. So, finally just got it all fixed up and hope to be better by spring.
Nice. How long ago did you have that done?
9 days ago.
That's it, just 9 days. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I feel, you know, actually I feel pretty good. I can't really complain. The pain's not too bad. I took about 7 Percocets so far to date. So,
that'll help.
No, if you don't have any extras, I know somebody will take them.
I don't know what's worse, you know, the pain or having to take a shit after taking a Percocet. So I'd rather deal with pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's probably less painful. That's a good point. Oh, shit.
I did the exact same thing with a set of dumbbells.
Really?
Yeah, about actually probably about a year after I was in your gym.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, kicked up some, I think it was 110s, and the left one just got a little wide on me. I didn't let go of it early enough, and that was it. I was doing bands and push-ups for like 6 months because I couldn't do anything.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I heard coming, but I'm you know, I'm eating like really, really cautious of what I'm eating now, really trying to eat some nutritious foods, stay, you know, hydrated. I'm using the Beamer mat. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's a electronic stim mat you kind of sleep on, or it's all for recovery. If you look into it, it's called Beamer.
Huh.
Great mat, and then they got attachments, and I put it on my shoulder, and I'm also working with the new Fit machine. So my goal is to try to see if I can get this done in about 4 months. They said it's a 6-month recovery, but, you know, I'm going to take my time and be very careful, but, you know, I'm always about new challenges, so I'm taking it.
I think it's funny when they say, oh, well, it's going to take this amount of time, and they're so shocked when they find out that we typically recover in half the time. Like, they have no idea that we're just going to take a ton of growth hormone. Like, like, why would you not factor that in? Like, oh, all these bodybuilders seem to recover so much faster. No shit. No shit. No, hey, I got a follow-up question here, and this is actually is a question that was asked by someone on the thread too, which kind of piggybacks off of your injury. So, and you may not want to answer this publicly, but I'm still going to try to pin you down anyway. So you come off of this injury, you know, winter, spring, you get back into the gym. Is Masters Nationals a possibility in 2020?
Oh no, I'm done bodybuilding. You know, I love bodybuilding, but I'm at a point where my life, you know, I'm 48. I'm really starting to enjoy different things, bike riding. You know, I want to get more of like a physical fit and, you know, start the different chapter of my life. You know, bodybuilding will always be there. It's really exciting. My 18-year-old son's really into it now, and he's growing. I mean, the kid's got twice the discipline I have. So for him, you know, next couple of years. You'll probably be hearing of him coming up. He's going to do team nationals next year. His name's Zach Armbrust. So nice. I'm really enjoying that aspect. And again, you know, I got all these amazing athletes in my gym. So I get to live, breathe, and eat this shit every day still. And then still go home at the end of the day and get on my bike and go for a nice ride or, you know, chill. So I'm really enjoying my late 40s, early 50s on the soon to come be.
That is an excellent deflection. So if I can paraphrase, yes, it's still kind of on the map, but
yeah, maybe if I find some board shorts, eh?
Yeah, that would be a sight. Yes, that would be a sight to see. That's still in board shorts. No way. Oh shit!
We had somebody. Another person asked a question, semi-related. Let me see if I can pull this up here. I can't even find it now, but basically they're talking about, you know, training, recovery into your 40s. And they want to know, Dylan, what your philosophy was just in general. I mean, obviously yours is going to be kind of tweaked right now with an injury, but, you know, I mean, it is funny because I heard somebody say something on another podcast not too long ago where, like, we make this line where it's like you hit 40 and all of a sudden it's like now you're in your 40s. Everything's got to change. So first of all, did it all change at 40? I'm asking you that for myself personally. And then if so, how have you changed your training to accommodate age?
Well, really, it did a lot because in my 30s is when I hit my I was my strongest. I was always a very heavy lifter. You know, I'd, you know, squat, you know, 500 pounds for reps. I'd get up into like the 600s. I, you know, squat 405. The big thing was squatting 405 for 20 reps back then. So
good God.
I was the kind of guy that just liked going to gym and just pound heavy weights.
Yeah.
And when I got into my 40s, that's when, you know, I had my first knee surgery and then it was another knee surgery. So you got to understand when you get in your 40s, the body's not that, you know, you're dealing with, you know, something that your body's cells are dying off more than you're producing new cells. Mm. So
I don't like the sound,
you know,
of that.
You got to slow it down and learn to train different and, you know, not like train so fucking heavy all the time, because you, I promise you, you will be getting a ton of surgeries if you don't learn to change that up for those guys that are like, you know, I see it every day on Facebook, you know, 600 pound deadlift for 20 reps or, you know, whatever. And I'm just like, oh, wait till that guy gets in his 40s. You
know? Right.
Hope he's got good medical insurance.
Yeah. No shit. And it's funny too, because there are 40, you know, I think you'd agree, you probably did it into your 40s too. You can pull those numbers and you can move those numbers and you can convince yourself, oh, no, I can't pull those numbers, but I'm saying, you know, there are people who can't. You can convince yourself, oh, you know, this age is, it's just an age, it's just a number, it's not that big a deal. But if you're smart, you have any fucking brain in your head at all, it doesn't take long for you to figure out this, if I continue doing this, it's just, not only is it not going to work, but it's going to backfire and just fucking roll me over. It's just gonna fucking stop me. And it, I think too, it's important to note, and you know, as far as the heavy weights or anything else, for a lot of us who have trained for a long time, you know, that is the mantra, that is the idea, is, you know, bang the heavy weights, train your ass off. It's difficult to step away from something that you know to be so true and to be such a hard and fast kind of black and white rule. But the reality is there's also the component of intensity, and there are other factors. Heavy slag iron, as Dante would call it, is one way to grow. There's no question. At the same time, it's not the only way to grow either. The intensity. So when you get into your 40s, if you're able to, I don't want to say disconnect from those heavier weights, but have that not be your only track or your only way to approach continuing to improve, or if not improving, holding muscle tissue and just trying to remain big, you have to go the intensity route, because intensity doesn't typically injure people like the heavy weights do.
Yeah, I didn't get into volume training really until I was in my late 30s, 40s. And, you know, if you can make that transition, it's like being addicted to drugs, lifting heavy, guys, though. It's because you go in there and you just start moving weight and you feel like a machine. And it's very hard to give up. It's very hard to walk away from, because, you know, that's what your high was every day. I'm going to go in the gym and murder this shit. And you walk out feeling like, you know, a modern day gladiator, because, you know, you just did what, you know, probably 90% of the rest of the world couldn't fucking do on their best day.
Right.
So, you know, it's addicting lifting heavy. And it's, especially, I was always like a really strict lifter. So, you know, I always wanted to, when I lifted, I was always, every time I did a heavy set, I pretended like all my best peers, like the people I ever looked up to, I pretend they're sitting around the squat rack watching me. So I was like, you know, okay, Tom Platz or, you know, Branch Warren, they're sitting there watching me squat. I just played that in my head, even though they weren't. So I did everything like as perfect as possible, you know. So I prided myself on really good form back there. And, you know, the form doesn't matter, guys. The body will still start tearing shit up.
Yeah. Well, imagine had you not done it right from the start. I always remind myself of that, too, with the injuries I've had. And I don't have half the strength you do. So I have to wonder, I'm like, God, going back, if I would have not been so focused on the mechanics and the form, I would just be incapable. I'd be like fucking Ronnie right now. And that's not a stab at him or a shot at him. That's just the truth of it. You have to look at somebody like that and go, I understand his situation is not normal and it's not every day. But the point is, you know, it's pretty disappointing to see someone like that who has pounded and banged for years and, you know, walk.
That's why, you know, able to walk. you see the Ronnie Coleman story, and it's so sad because, you know, when we were watching Unbelievable, we were all just like, you know, he just moved this weight, and it was literally fucking unbelievable. And now you see him walk, and he was all our heroes, and just, you know, we watched him do all this stuff that was unreal, you know, unreal. And then all of a sudden, he's can't even walk, and it's just really sad, you know. So bodybuilding.
Well, I think Doran Yates is a good example of a guy that got away from the heavy lifting, and I think he does like yoga and stuff now.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Scott, 100%. Dorian's really taking his life too. You know, look at him; he's having fun. He's, you know, he's out there smoking weed, and, you know, traveling the world, and ayahuasca.
Yeah,
he's got it going on. He knows what's up.
Yeah, riding bikes.
Yeah, I heard he's a bike rider. So
yeah, he's a big bike rider. Yeah, I talked to him last time he was in town up here about a year ago, because I did that. I got away from all the heavy stuff, and he's like, yeah, you know, he looked good, he looked fit, you know. And he said, you know, injury wise he really wasn't nothing really major, but nothing crazy.
I think once you get to this age too, I think you can attest, both of you guys, is just all you really fucking care about is being happy, you know. You're so tired of drama, you're so tired of just negative people at this point in your life. You're just like, you know what, I want to be around some cool people and chill.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
We know the bodybuilding world is the most narcissistic, cool fucking industry in the world. Mm-hmm. So, but we all love it, so you know what you can.
Yeah, yeah. Careful. It's a double-edged sword for sure. It's like, well, careful what you wish for, and I love what I do, but oh my God, these people sometimes. Woo!
Yeah. Well, like, you know, a perfect example, you know, there's some beautiful physiques in the gym, and like sometimes I'll have a buddy from high school show up and he'll be like, God dang, how do you work in this place? You know, it's just, you know, look at these chicks, this and that, and it's, you get that aspect and you're just like, wow, you know, I don't really notice it anymore. Sorry.
Right, right.
And then occasionally you get the new hot chick that comes in the gym and, you know, she's like, you know, taunting her stuff around and, you know, you kind of just walk by her like, yeah. I mean, that's it 1,000 times. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, look, I don't want to sound too negative or cynical, but I know I've caught myself before.
But you will.
And it's not fair. I will, for sure. And it's not fair. But how many times have you seen a chick like that? And I know women do this to guys, too. It goes both ways. And you just literally think, yeah, you know, she's pretty hot, but I bet she's a fucking train wreck.
Oh, at this point of our lives? Hell yeah. You're like,
yeah.
You don't want that fucking headache for nothing.
Yeah. And it's not. It's totally not fair. And I know it goes both ways. But I know we all do that, which doesn't mean there are only train wrecks in, you know, in bodybuilding and in the gyms, because there's train wrecks everywhere. But it's just kind of funny that's how we, you know.
Yeah, and they're both male and female.
So exactly.
Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
People just need to learn, you know. It's like, I think you guys can appreciate somebody that just has a good head on their shoulders, has a plan, you know, has a business plan. Because most people get in the sport, they think, you know, the sport's going to deliver him a fucking $1 million on a silver platter someday, and that's not the problem. That's not the case whatsoever. You better have a plan if you're coming into this industry to stay for a while, and you better have a little bit of respect and dignity, because otherwise this fucking thing will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, yeah, you're damn right. Well, it takes a lot of good people. You know, you've been around long enough to see good people come in. You're like, oh my God, you can just tell based on their personality and their demeanor. You're just gonna get chewed up. It's just gonna fuck you up and take good people.
I've learned from my own mistakes. Wow, that was stupid of me. You learn from yourself. You learn from other people.
Sure.
And eventually, you learn just to shut the fuck up and mind your own business.
Yeah, yeah. It's very true. I know. I don't shut my mouth completely. But you know. But those who know me,
there'd be no entertainment.
But back in the intense muscle day, I mean, I go back only 15 years and people are just, it's completely different. I'm pretty much unrecognizable, nowhere near as confrontational. And people will say, why don't you just get in there? You know, that's what you used to do. I used to do that, but it was fucking exhausting. I know what the outcome is. I don't want to fight anymore to prove to someone that I'm wrong or try to convince. I don't give a fuck. I don't need it anymore. And I'm not fucking, it's exhausting. I'm done with that.
Totally. I hear you totally. I think, you know, all in all, though, it's bodybuilding teaches some really great habits too. I mean, it taught me to work hard and understand that nothing's going to come, you know, easy. So, you know, that's got to understand in this sport, even the people with the best genetics work hard to win the championships. And
right.
Unfortunately, sure. When you get to this level of the Olympia, it's where hard work and good genetics, you know, you're dealing with both. So that's why I say play your cards, you know, good from the get-go. And you can still be successful in this industry because, you know, there's very like a small 1% of that are going to be the Mr. Olympias. And when they in the Miss Olympias, and it's just, you know, these girls and these guys fight like crazy all year to get points to get fucking, you know, 15th place at the Olympia, which is cool once to get on the Olympia stage. But, you know, work on it, put that much effort into building yourself a business that has to do with the industry, and that's where you're going to be successful.
Right.
Hey, no. I want to jump in here. I'm going to use this as a segue because, first of all, I want to say we have a bunch of questions, Skip. We put out that thread the other day over at the Advices Radio group. If you guys haven't joined the group, check it out. You know, it's like a private group, so anything you post, it's not just floating around there on the webs. You know, you gotta join. But well, you know, if you're listening to the shows and you ask to join, we accept you. But before we get to those questions, before we go to break, I do want to use that as a segue to ask Dylan, what do you think about the Olympia? I mean, we're like 2 weeks out. First of all, are you going?
I'm not with the shoulder, so it'll be the first time in 12 years. Oh. I'm really bummed because you know, I'm such a fan of bodybuilding. I really am, but it's going to be very interesting this year, and I believe there's some key battles. Everything's up for battle. I think there's some, you know, it's going to be, you know, whoever has the best strategy coming in, whoever has the best coach, because everybody, it's an even playing field out there right now without, for the first time in a long time. So it's going to be a very exciting year.
Now I want to hear some predictions. Let's maybe go like top three, and we won't hold you to it if, you know, if it doesn't work out that way. But I'm curious, man, you've been around for a long time. You know, like you said, you've seen a lot of great bodybuilders. You've seen a lot of great bodybuilders in your gym, you know, and I've seen you at all the shows. I was hoping, by the way, I'm heading out there. I was really thinking you were one of the guys I was hoping to run into. I saw you at the expo. You had the VIP tickets so you could sit down during women's physique and figure. I did not have the VIP tickets, so I was on the other side of the ropes standing.
Well, I snuck in. Don't tell me. That's high school.
But yeah, man, so we wanted to hear, though, you know, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there too, you know, what are your thoughts, man? I mean, the people coming in, we've got a few people that look pretty interesting. I won't say anything more, though. I want to turn this over to you.
I truly believe this is going to be a battle between Rolly Winkler and Brandon Curry.
Right on.
I think when Rolly's on, he's the only one that really comes to having that close 3D look, you know, that Phil had. I see so many people use that term now, 3D, and it's like, there's only still one guy that has a 3D look. Sorry, guys. Phil's the only one that's ever brought that, you know, where, and striations aren't striations or deep crevices of muscle. That's 3D. Huh. But I think Rolly Winkler and Brandon Curry are going to have a good battle. That's nothing against Dexter or,
sure,
you know, Jackson, but I think when they turn around, I don't think Dexter has the back to hang with those two. Maybe I don't know. I think it's, Dexter's great. I respect the hell out of him. And if anybody could sneak one off, it would be him. I'm not counting them out, but I think it'll be between those two guys.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
That's who I'm going. That's my pick. Dexter.
Dexter's your pick.
Yep.
That's a good,
the old man's going to take him.
Safe pick.
Yeah.
But I think Brandon Curry, has shown through his career just some outstanding dedication and hard work, and you know, if he won, he would definitely be deserving, and so would Rolly. All of them would be deserving. It's going to be a great show, but I really think the excitement's in the 212, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, what do you see in there?
Well, now that Hadi Tropin's in, you know, it's I think you see. Here's the deal. Hadi Tropin comes in and Hani's not going to fuck up. Hani is the most probably experienced, you know, coach out there. So he, you know, I'm just saying Derek coach needs to cross his T's and dot his I's coming into this. Because if Derek's perfect, Derek will win. But if Derek's off, Hadi will beat him.
Yeah, he's gonna be right there. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been following as much 212 this year. I've been fixated on the Open. You know, I was, of course, you know, everybody was excited to see what was gonna happen with Sean Roden, you know, coming back and whether he was gonna be able to maintain that or not. So you're thinking maybe one of the two, Brandon Curry in Open, and then Rowley, and then what are you going to go with? Maybe Dexter for third?
Yeah, I think Dexter would be a safe bet for third. Maybe, Dexter, the thing about Dexter the past few years, being he was the most consistent bodybuilder of all time, but every Olympia the past few years, he's been a little inconsistent. So that's where my questioning is, just the Olympia consistency over the past few years, him coming in.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what worries me a little bit with Rowley, is just because he's been so up and down. And, you know, like when you use the words even, you're like, when he hits it, you know, when he nails it.
Yeah, Rowley hits it. And, I just have a gut feeling. That's all. You know, it's nothing more. It's just kind of more, maybe it's more me just being a fan of his because he's,
you know, so freaky. Cool dude,
but, you know, we tend to do that too. We tend to, you know, point towards who we like and personalities. You know, it's like, that's what I'm talking about earlier. You know, you come into this industry, have a personality that people like, you know.
But
Phil played the villain for years too, and you know, he won 7, so he did a good job playing the villain.
That's what I like about Brandon. I think he's been really showing himself as a real good just an ambassador for bodybuilding. I feel like he's a really well-spoken, articulate kind of guy. And if that counts for anything, I don't know if it really does. You know, we always say like, well, is he Mr. Olympia quality? I feel like Brandon Curry has kind of presented himself, especially this last couple of years. I know I got a chance to talk to him the other day. He uses the word campaign, and it's like he is on a campaign, not only in his bodybuilding, but just in the way he carries himself and presents himself everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I if you would have asked me 5 years ago if Brandon Curry being Mr. Olympia, I would say no way, never have the wheels, you know. Wheels are still a little questionable, but he's worked his ass off to bring those legs up, and he's right there.
And then how about
funny? No, go for it. I don't want to go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask one more guy. What do you think of Bonick?
William Bonick, you know, and shame on me for leaving him out, because he's another one that could easily win that. So, shame on me. He's got a great physique. Another one, absolutely. So, probably those top four guys. Those are the top four guys for sure. Yeah. And really, I don't know. You know, I think, you know, I'd hate to say it, but I just really think Brandon Curry and Rowley and Bonick have all like improved so much. I don't even know if it really matter if Sean Roden was there or not.
Interesting. Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Sean. It's just, you know, we saw him in Pittsburgh, and how much better can you get from Pittsburgh these guys are working year round. I mean, you know, Brandon Curry's out there in Kuwait, you know, just slamming it nonstop.
Everything he's saying too.
Sean did every year. He always showed up, you know, like 3 months before. He did the old Kevin LeBron routine. So it must be something out of Maryland. Those guys just must.
That's right.
So. I'm sorry, Skip. What were you going to say, though?
Oh, just in reference to your statement about being Mr. Olympia material, I always find that fascinating, because when I was younger, and I think this is the case for a lot of people who haven't been in the sport for very long, I don't think it really matters too much to the people who are. I think the more time you spend and the more married you feel to the sport of bodybuilding, who your ambassador is as far as who is winning shows and is doing more media interviews and representing the sport matters more to you. So I know, speaking for myself, I want someone who's relatively articulate, educated, as opposed to, and I'm not mentioning any name, I'm just saying, as opposed to, you know, kind of a Beavis and Butthead, you know, pass the joint, I'm rolling through life. And I'm not saying that's bad. All I'm saying is I would rather have somebody less cocky, less arrogant. To me, in my opinion, I really thought that Jay Cutler was kind of the epitome, the way he treated fans, the way he treated people. He was so positive and relatively humble, and just the way he carried himself. I was always impressed with that, which is not to say that I wasn't, you know, with Phil or, you know, Sean or Ronnie. but you know, you got a lot of people complaining about different types of people based on who they prefer. You know, if you didn't like Phil, you thought he was a cocky dick, and if you don't like Sean, you think he's lazy and just kind of rolls through life. You didn't really have that as much with Jay. Now, it could have been that was prior to, you know, kind of the heavy social media days and everything else, where he didn't have the opportunity to be bashed ad nauseum every minute of every day as well. But point being, I think the ambassador or the ambassadorship or the qualities that someone at the top has matters more to the people who have been around longer, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
I also think that, you know, I think Jay won just a perfect amount of Olympias, because this country gets so fucking bored with people. If you're going to win any more than four Mr. Olympias, everybody's going to hate you no matter what. I mean, look at Tom Brady. We have some of the greatest of all-time athletes in our era, and people fucking hate him because
year after year. I could not agree more. I could not agree more.
You're watching history, you stupid fuck.
Yeah. and it'll take years for them to figure that out, but they'll be telling their kids, oh, I remember during that time. And the kid will probably look at him and go, but Dad, you thought Tom Brady was a dick. Well, yeah, I guess I did. It's just funny. That's a very, very good point. Yeah, absolutely. I was wondering, if you're moving around a lot. Does your arm hurt, or do you have to take another, like, shit?
No, I just got it tucked underneath my thing, you know.
I didn't know if you were maybe impacted. I thought you might have been impacted or something. I say, if you need to go get a fork. I think I saw Zach in the background. He could bring you a fork or like a spatula to kind of dig it out.
Yeah, he's back there cooking his 10th meal.
Give birth to a concrete block.
Yeah, the Percocet cement block doo-doos. Oh, shit, that's funny.
Yeah, we didn't have to deal with that too much. I don't think we'll see another five-time Mr. Olympia for a long time, though. I don't, you know, I think these guys that are coming up that whoever's going to win, I don't think there's one of them that can probably win more than 3-4.
Hmm.
You know, and then you'll see another new Mr. Olympia. So I think your days of, you know, like Lee Haney or your Ronnie Coleman's or your Phil Heath's, you know, you're not going to see that for a long time, I don't think. You know, that's just my opinion, because I just don't see anybody coming up. And, you know, when it's like sometimes you see somebody come up, but they have all the talent, but they ain't got the drive. And we got plenty of guys up there that have the drive, but they don't have the talent. But, you know, it's very rare you see a talent like Ronnie or a Phil or somebody come through. So we've been pretty lucky to have, you know, see a couple of them in our lifetime.
Sure. Greatest bodybuilding Mr. Olympia of all time. And if you say Phil, you can't say it because you're friends.
I would say Phil, just because he's the most complete, you know, from front to back. If you want, you're going to combine mass with symmetry, with, you know, beauty. And then Phil brought something, a 3D, you know, a look, you know, he brought a new excitement to the sport. You know, he brought something. I think when him and Kai were going, it was probably one of the most exciting times in bodybuilding. Hmm. So I would say Phil and Dorian Yates are my favorite. And it's nothing against Ronnie. I just, you know, those were my favorites for those reasons. Dorian was kind of the first one to bring that, you know, hey, I'm in the fucking cave lifting, and this is what a man does, and if you don't, you're a fucking pussy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Phil had just a look that, you know, never been seen before in bodybuilding. So, and, you know, even when he walks into the gym, every day, even now, just the other day I see him, I can't help but just stare at his forearms, and the guy's just a freak, you know, he's a freak of nature, so... And I've seen plenty of big bodybuilders. And what's cool about Phil, too, is he can walk down the street and still look like an athletic guy. And, you know, most guys are walking around like, you know, their assholes sewed up tight with fishing string, you know, their legs are stiff and they're waddling back and forth.
Yeah.
And Phil just kind of, you know, he's just one of the boys walking and talking.
Right. Yep.
All right, guys. Well, what do you say we take a quick break here, go to our commercial. And after that, when we come back, we've got a bunch of questions. Guys, we'll be back in just a minute.
Sweet.
And Dylan, we're not really going anywhere because we're live. But that's for the edited. That's it. That's for the edited audience.
Right.
I will mention, guys, if you're watching live, True Nutrition gave us a new code. If you want to purchase any of their oatmeal blends, you can do so with the code AdvicesOats, and that will get you 25% off any of their oatmeal blends. I just tried the pancakes and syrup flavor, which I will say, if I were to do it again, I'd get the double flavor because I think it needed like a little more punch, but it's good. It's interesting. It's different than just regular oatmeal, and it ends up costing like a little bit more than if you're to just buy regular oats. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Let's get back to it. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally. With me, as always, is Skip Hill. We've got a blank screen over here where S2H is supposed to be. And we have a special guest with us, Dylan Armbrust from Armbrust Pro Gym. And we've got a bunch of questions here. Guys, we took these questions from the new Facebook group for Advices Radio. So thank you, everybody, who took part in that. Thank you to everybody, too, who's joined the group and is participating. Anybody who's watching this live, this will be aired through our new YouTube page. I really should have mentioned that at the beginning, Skip, right? We have a new YouTube page. That's where everything's going now for video content. Think Big Bodybuilding Media. The audio stuff is all coming out just as it always has through advicesradio.com, you know, iTunes, wherever else you would like to get your podcasts, just as always. So the only thing that's changing is our video content. So if you haven't done so, go ahead and subscribe over there. I believe I have links all over the place for that. I'm going to get started up here. I wanted to ask you, Dylan, you have your own podcast that you guys have run, don't you?
Yeah, we've run the podcast time and time, you know, from here to here and there. We've changed it up a little bit. But, you know, what I realize is I get my hands in too many things and I get so damn busy.
So. Yeah.
And I'm kind of a selfish person, too, because, like, you know, when this shit's all done, you know, like, you guys are a workaholic. You like to go home, get on your computers and work and. Yeah. I like to kick my feet up, you know, smoke a joint, chill out for a little bit.
You know? Now I know why you and Dave Kalik are friends.
I like chill time, you know. I work, you know, I'm up every morning at 5, and I'm at the gym by, you know, 6, 7, and, you know, by 4 or 5, you know, I'm going home. And, you know, I still train clients during the day. I take a few clients every day. It's just, you know, it's, and then I get home, you know, somewhere between 4 or 5, and turn on some tunes, cook up a nice dinner on the grill, and, you know, get high as fuck and have a nice night.
Well, I can't blame you. But for people that do want to check it out, man, what's the name of the show?
You know, we haven't been on, but it was Mile High Muscle Radio. The episodes are still up. You know, we'll probably, you know, we get it going every now and then and
yeah,
and kick it around. But it's both on, I think it's on iTunes and what is the Spotify. So there's links there, Mile High Muscle Radio Show.
Okay.
We've had some fun on it for sure. Some good guests.
Cool. All right, I'm going to go over to our questions. We have a funny one, a would you rather. I'll save that to the end. We can get down to some bodybuilding stuff. Now, this is something I'm not really familiar with. This is Jake. He asks, citrulline versus citrulline malate. Which do you guys think works better and why? Skip, is there a different form of citrulline? I've only ever used citrulline malate.
Yeah, I'm not actually, look, I'm not a big fan of, I'm not the best person to ask because I'm not a big fan of these, supplements.
So Scott?
You know, it's a tough spot.
Malate's got higher bioavailability.
Okay.
I just say it's a tough spot because I, you know, obviously I'm sponsored by True Nutrition. I don't want to ever come across and say or give the impression that supplements are useless or they're not. I'm just not a big supplement guy.
Yeah.
So I don't go in 10 different directions. And keep in mind, I mean, I get all my shit for free and I still don't use a lot of this extra stuff. I won't even use it if it's free. I'm just not that big on it. That is not to say that other people don't like it. They don't find things useful like that, pre-workouts, all that sort of shit. I'm just not a big supplement guy.
You're old school. Dylan, are you...
Maybe too old school.
are you with Skip, or what do you think of supplements in general?
You know, there's some good ones out there, but I'm with Skip. You know, nutrition and hormone balance is the most important thing. You can work your ass off, and you can do everything. You can even take as much citrulline malate and shove it up your ass as much as you want. If you got a low testosterone count, it ain't gonna do shit for you.
Right.
Exactly. Parachute it.
All right. I mean,
you can get all what you need out of food if you eat the right food.
Exactly. But you know, you gotta be to organic nowadays because, you know, there is a fucking difference too, because you know, the regular food's just, you know, it's not as nutritious. It's grown in the same dirt. I mean, that's one thing I've studied a lot upon is food. And you're absolutely right. If you eat, you know, you got some good steroids, you're going to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Health is overrated anyway. I don't
know. Fuck health.
I'm just here to grow, okay?
All right. We got one from Brandon Goldberg here. He says, three-part question. Do you prefer to have someone or yourself take a lot of gear in their off season, or do you prefer to take it easy on the doses and let the food do the work? Interesting, we go to this one. If you prefer to not use a lot of gear in the off season, why wouldn't it be best to use a good amount of gear to be able to build even more muscle on top of eating in a surplus? I'll stop there. Scott, we haven't heard much from you, man. Why don't I turn to you first on this one?
Well, I'll put it this way. So let's say that's going to be situational, because let's say you compete once a year or you compete five times a year. There's a kind of a little difference, a little caveat to your off season and on. But, I mean, first of all, I think everyone takes too much gear anyway for the most part. I mean, you know, you're only going to get so much out of so much. You know, if you're like 190 pounds and you're taking 5 grams a week, well, I don't see where that's going to benefit you, you know. So yeah. I would say for me, off-season would be a lot more simplistic. Some tests, some DECA, some whatever, you know, just your basics. Because your most competitors are going to start pounding it pretty hard going into prep. You know, I'd like to find somebody who can't grow on 750 grams of test and some growth, a couple IUs a day, every other day. I mean, you know, there's people that need more than that, but I mean, the majority of people can grow easily off that. If they train right, they recover, they rest, they eat properly. You know, I think people just way overdo it. So, but you know, I don't know what this person defines as a lot. So, you
know, yeah, that's a good point too. Yeah, I guess a lot could be, you know, really variable. He also added at the end, last, do you think that taking more in your off season will affect your prep in any way when it comes to the compounds being as effective or not?
I think you can't even take a bunch of orals for sure.
Mm.
There can be some negative effect. Again, a lot depends on what it is. Some people tolerate higher dosages a lot better than others. So you could have somebody who's really hammering it in the off season and they get into a prep and it becomes problematic, especially in the oral department. But you know, I don't know what he's defining a lot as. In this day and age, a lot in my mind is a lot.
Yeah.
And I think people
just wait. Did you just say a lot is a lot? What the fuck kind of comment is that?
It's a Texas old school comment.
20 years ago, 20 years ago, a gram was a lot. Now a lot is like 10 grams.
Well, I understand. Now you've put some black and white parameters around, but a lot is a lot doesn't make any fucking sense.
You'll get your turn in a minute, so shut up.
I'm patiently waiting and rolling my eyes at the same time.
I mean, I think you need to be smart, and you need to take. If you're progressing and you're taking a certain amount of stuff, and I think people need to build their way up to, you know, a lot of people jump in the off season like, oh, I'm going to take a gram of this, gram of that, gram of that. Yeah, you're going to grow, but maybe you should have been a little smarter about it. Got different compounds, you know, I mean, you know, taking a little different approach to it possibly. I like the step approach. So start low, work your way up, and then finally you're going to get a point of diminishing return. Everybody is. You know, and then analyze your nutrition, your training, because it's just not all drugs.
Whatever, of course it is.
Or take DNP and die on your porch. That's the other thing.
Inside joke.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't have a porch, so fuck you.
You did have one.
No, I didn't. I had decks. I didn't have a porch. Anyway, that's not the point.
And your ripped pool cover.
You know what? Cut to Dylan. Cut his mic or something. It's just... fuck, man.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on this one, Dylan?
You know, it totally... It's Scott's right. It depends on the individual. It depends on the genetic background, blood work. When you first start training, if you're taking more than a gram of test a week, you know, in your off season, that's plenty. I mean, you don't need to go any higher than that. You really got to watch that test estradiol, you know, in your blood to make sure that's nice and good numbers there. But you don't really, if you have to take the amounts of testosterone, that some of these guys are taking, you're really just killing yourself slowly, because the guys with genetics are going to win every time anyway. So.
Yeah.
And they're not going to die at 30. So
exactly. Yeah, so yeah. Taking high amounts is kind of crazy. The most I ever really did was, you know, I took, you know, a gram, and I mean, I grew like crazy, and I hear a guy's taking 2 grams now, and I'm just like, you know what? A gram wasn't enough. I mean, I was lifting fucking buildings with a gram. You know?
I think it's kind of funny. Well, not funny, haha, funny, but odd that the guy asking the question doesn't mention anything about health, and that's okay. But it should be pointed out, because if he's just asking about progress, then just take more shit. Because if that's all you're concerned about, even if more shit doesn't work, and a lot of times it doesn't work, at least you're covering your bases. That's the bodybuilder mentality. I don't know if I have enough protein, so I'm just going to eat more. I don't know if I have enough calories, so I'm just going to eat more. I don't know if I'm training enough, so I'm just going to train more. If you're not sure if you're taking enough to grow, and growing is your only real focus, and you're not too concerned about your health or concerned at all, then just take more shit. Because the questions he's asking, and I'm not picking at him, I'm just trying to be honest. If he is asking, well, is it better to take in the off season or better to take it during prep? If you're just talking about growth and progress, better to take fucking shit all the time and take more shit, because then you know you're taking enough stuff. That's why it happens. But if you're concerned about balancing out and being efficient with the process and not taking any more than you need, then I would probably recommend to go less gear when you have more calories and more gear when you have less calories. That's if you're trying to balance it out and trying to be as efficient and be as healthy as you can about it, because then you're not on as much shit as long, and calories will keep you help to keep you in an anabolic state with the potential for growth. No food. I'm not going to try to compare food to testosterone, because they're clearly apples and oranges, but going into a surplus of calories is still putting yourself into an anabolic or in more of an anabolic environment. So you can, in theory, get away, or on paper, with less gear if you have more calories, and you can still grow, especially if you're smart and you're not overtraining. You're training less frequently. You're training your ass off. Your nutrition and your recovery and your sleep and everything else is in a good spot. And everything you do, your entire protocol is well thought out and well planned.
Yeah, I agree. You know, your body's like, you've got to eat. If you're not in bodybuilding for the long haul and you're just here to get huge while you're 18, 25 years old, you know, you're in it for the wrong reason, because it's like, you know, sound like an old guy talking, but Rome wasn't built in a day. It's like, you're going to treat your body. It's bodybuilding, you know, year after year, you're going to get better and better. And if you just, I swear, we have all seen the guys that take tons of drugs and they just look like shit. Their skin's all puckered and nasty, and, you know, they don't even really have good muscle tone, because, you know, their bodies are toxic.
Yeah.
So you've got to, like, just be patient and build a masterpiece over time, you know. And if you're in the game late and you're in your 30s or 40s or whatever, that's the way it is. But if you're taking a ton of drugs and not eating correctly or doing blood work to check where you're at, you're literally committing slow suicide. So.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Here's an interesting one. This is from Chris. He says, I'd like to tell my PCP what I'm taking so he can make informed decisions on my care, but he only knows what was taught to him in school about gear and will just blame everything on it and tell me to stop taking it. My girlfriend thinks I'm going to die when I'm 40 because at the time of this discussion, I was taking test in Primo totaling 500 milligrams. How do I convince my girlfriend that society's knowledge of gear and how bad it is exaggerated when my doctor doesn't even know? Or am I just being naive and it is actually that bad? I was thinking about, there were a few prospective urologist endos out there that were actually informed, but maybe they're just the ones who's wrong, since they're in such a small minority in the medical community.
I need to talk to his wife. No shit, right? Here's what you do. This answer is so simple. You get a new girlfriend and you get a new doctor.
Done.
And And I'm serious, and I'll tell you why. Because I can't imagine. I've been with my wife for 28 years, been married for 26. I will never understand when people say that their spouses don't support what they do, or they question, you know, oh, you shouldn't be using, or I have to hide my gear from my, things like that blow my mind. Anyway, yeah. The other part is the doctor. If it was 25 or 30 years ago, you had a fucking doctor that your parents had and they had and their parents had, and the guy was old as shit, and you weren't very comfortable with him fondling your balls while he told you to cough. These days, you kind of window shop for doctors. I mean, you can change doctor at any time. Hmm. And I know it may sound silly to some. You get the doctor that, I don't want to say feeds you the information or has the same ideology that you do, but one that you're comfortable with and one that you feel is up to speed. And when it comes to TRT, HRT, hormone therapy, anti-aging, it's hit or miss. So find one that believes along the line you do, because they're out there. There are plenty of doctors who are pro-hormone, pro-anti-aging, pro-testosterone. Then there's some in the middle who, they might not be pro, but they're going to support the fact. I always tell them, I'm going to do this, so you can either support it or you're not. And just tell me now, and we can not waste each other's time. And if you're not going to support me and you're going to talk to me with condescension, then I'm just leaving now. Yeah. Just cut to the chase and figure it out. And if that's not the doctor that you want, I don't want to be preached to about tanning. I don't want to be preached to about anything I fucking do. Either listen and support what I'm going to do, because I'm making my own decisions, or I'm getting another fucking doctor.
That's a good point.
I think a lot of it has to do with this, and with the girlfriend side, is education. People with something like, you know, HRT, steroids, they make very uninformed decisions, the people that are really against it. And
right, but she has no reason to be educated by it, though.
Hold on. Maybe he can help educate her. Now, as far as the doctor stuff goes, yeah, there's ones out there. I mean, I've been to ones that are pro, you know, HRT and stuff. And they still, whenever I say, can I get some Aromasin or Aromidex? They're like, what is that for? You know, I'm sure you got to educate them, you know, and that's what you got to do. I mean, if she thinks you're going to die by 40, I can tell you right now, I can only speak for myself, but I'm well over 40 and I ain't dead yet. So, but you got to educate people. Sometimes they, you know, some good reading material and let them understand what's going on. Maybe they just don't understand.
I don't think that's a bad idea, but at the same time, show me a doctor that's willing to listen to their patient. It doesn't happen very often.
I just got one recently.
All I'm saying is I don't think it happens very often. The doctors I've always run into over the years, and a lot of the people who have said the same thing to me over the years, these motherfuckers think they know everything about everything. Now, obviously, they're supposed to in the medical community, but some of these guys, I swear, think they could change an oil filter in a fucking airplane because they're so smart. It doesn't... They just have this all-around worldly fucking know-everything type of mentality, and that's what's off-putting to people like us, because not only do we have a good grasp of what we're doing, we don't know it all, and I never want to imply that the typical bodybuilder is smarter than a doctor, because I don't think that's the case. I do think we're more experienced in certain specific areas where a general practitioner might not have very much experience or knowledge. But when you get to into endos and everything else, I'm sorry, but even the average endo would talk circles around pretty much any of us.
I don't sense that.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Here's the thing. You got to remember something. Most of these doctors are prescribing off a computer program given to them by Pfizer, Merrick, or whoever.
They are, but let's be fair. They do have SAT scores that make me look retarded, and most of us. And they've been to school for fucking 10 years. I mean, fair is fair.
But, you know, like, okay, my doctor, I got a new doctor. I went in, got back on my program. I said, hey, I need a Rumidex. He's like, he looked out. He didn't know what it was when I said it. I could tell. So he clicked it in his little computer, brought it up, and he's like, what's that for? And I explained it to him. You know, I'm at my age, you know, there's a higher rate of aromatase in the enzyme. I explained it to him, and he prescribed it.
Okay, but he may not know what DVP is either, but he's still fucking – that doesn't mean that he's ignorant or that I'm smarter than him for knowing that.
No, I'm just saying it because we had an adult conversation. I explained what it was. He listened to me.
Right.
And got it.
Okay, and that's great. And some doctors are like that. My only point is you're not always going to have a doc. People aren't always going to have a doctor that is going to be open to listening to you and who's going to be willing to learn from you. I had an endocrinologist in Denver who was fucking awesome. If you ever need an endocrinologist or anybody there needs one, hit me up, Dylan, because he's fucking great. He would pull his interns in and they would want to listen to my situation and what I was dealing with because they didn't have that experience. Their experience was, you know, with obviously different demographic, different population. Point is that just I don't think it happens very often. You just don't get doctors who are willing to live because they just have themselves a lot of times up on this pedestal that I'm just 10 times smarter than you. And typically they are.
But none of them ever have taken a bottle of tests in a week before, have they?
That is true. Exactly.
I've actually had one to do.
I thought it was funny because I was going over the dosages and when the lady was writing it down at this endocrinologist and she looked up and she goes, a month? I'm like, no, a week. And the look on her face was just like, oh my God, and you're still alive? It was funny because even my dosing, you guys, Dylan may not, but you guys know I'm relatively conservative. I've always been very careful and very, very conservative with my dosing. So I'm thinking, damn, woman, if you had somebody in here who was just normal and dosing his shit, you'd probably have him, you know, half fucking dead right now or have him on the way down to the morgue.
I think you do have to work up to those doses over years because, you know, you're on some kid on his first cycle and you're doing a gram of test a week. You're asking for nothing but trouble. Your hormone and your body's just not used to that shit. Your hormones are going to go crazy.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a gradual. That's why it's like, you know, take your time in this sport and learn before you do stupid shit.
Yeah. So what's your thought, Dylan? Should he get rid of what was it? Get rid of the girlfriend, get rid of the doctor, and start fresh?
Probably he's young enough. I mean, he's got a lot more chicks than that, like, you know. So let's start switching them up. Just shoo them out the door. They start asking stupid questions. That's bad.
I mean, you got to look at the other side too. Does a girlfriend come from money? Is she able to do things nice to you?
There's bills. Yeah, you don't have to work. She pays all the bills. There are things that may factor into this. Yes.
Yeah, you may want to hang under for a little bit. Hide your shit in the closet.
Yeah, you might want to hide your shit. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's see here. I'd like to hear some opinions, ideas, options on show day nutrition, trying to stay dry, keeping stomach flat, etc. Variables, things that can, what are things that could ruin your look at this point? Skip, you're the expert here. I'm gonna say that because you have you've had the most online experience with. Well, no, we'll go to Dylan on this one first because we didn't hear much from Dylan, and you've coached just as many people. What am I thinking here?
If not more.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you don't coach online, so he's an amateur.
He's not an Instagram coach.
I don't think you do anything online, but you do everything like out of your gym and face to face, right?
Yeah, I'm actually not coaching any. I've got like one or two clients now that I coach. I personal train in the gym. I just got out of the coaching. It's I want to get into the judging now. Nice. Kind of a little more fun, you know, watching the new talent come up, you know. And I just don't really enjoy the coaching. It's so fucking dramatic and bullshit out there now. And there's some great coaches out there. It's just not my thing anymore. But you know, in my experience, it all depends. Like if you're a newer bodybuilder and you're local and you're just getting started, don't change a fucking thing if you look good. Do exactly what you're doing going into the show, because at a local show, if you're in shape, you're probably going to fucking win, you know?
Right. Yeah.
When you get into training, you know, I got into training Olympia athletes and going for Olympia wins and stuff like that. Of course, things can change in a few hours. So you really have to be on top of those people because, you know, like last year training Candace, I mean, she looked outstanding, amazing. And we were ready to go and, you know, from the time she left the Orleans to getting backstage, she started to flatten out really bad. You know, she came back from stage and it was just like, wow, you know, she's flattening out. I was like, you know, go do this and do that. And I mean, and urging that she started changing within just, you know, 15 minutes. And, you know, she was a little flat at prejudging, but still I think looked plenty good enough to win. But it just goes to show at a high level with athletes, and they get so shredded and so lean, and you know there's so much more that goes into factor. It's you got to really watch, you know, it's different every time, and you just got better know what you're doing.
Yeah. And what about
I think the more extreme?
Yeah.
What about just like I?
We're both waiting on each other, and then as soon as we talk, no, that's just funny. The only thing I was going to add was I do think, and I agree with Dylan, the more extreme the conditioning, the quicker that condition can, if things are, you know, variables are put in or pulled out, that you can get a more dramatic or more obvious response. So you do have to be careful making the comparison to the, you know, local competitor. If you're lean and you're in great shape, yeah, you're probably not going to, you know, anything you do at the last minute probably isn't going to impact it. I think what the person asking the question is looking for is something, and I don't want to give the same rehearsed response all the time because I know it gets old, but looking for this very black and white, well, what do I – there, every coach will do something or have different methods for, not only from client to client, but just a lot of different methods they'll use. If this happens, I do this. If this happens, I do this. If I see this response, I do that. That there are so many factors. This is a very, very difficult question to answer. If he was saying, what typically do you do on the morning show to keep flat? First, you don't have large volumes of food. You have to take into consideration whether that client distends a lot, doesn't distend, tends to stay flatter in their stomach if they have food in them, that sort of thing. That depends on when you load them, whether you're going to fill and spill 2, 3, 4 days out, or if you're going to load prior because you have to make weight and you had to push them down underweight. There's so many factors here. Very difficult. One thing I'll add that I do and people will think this is, some people will think it's weird. Other people will be like, oh, should I do something similar to that? And I've done it for a very, very long time, is to bring out kind of like a last boom before you go on stage. If you're really lean, really dry, you want to drop vascularity, half to one, but usually a half of a sausage, egg and cheese biscuit from McDonald's. About 6 ounces of straight Coca-Cola, and you will fucking just start going fucking crazy. There are other things in there, but I won't get into those right now. I don't want to give it all away. But the point is, a huge drop in sodium, a huge surge of sodium, some fluid and sugar and some fat will just overload the vascular system to the point where you might die, but that's, you know. That's just a gamble. That's a risk that we take. But the impact that it will have very, very quickly. We're talking like 15 minutes, sometimes 15, 20 minutes right before you go on stage. It can have a huge, huge impact.
I've put many top five Olympians on stage with sausage egg McMuffins in their belly.
No shit.
Amazing.
There you go. Thank you. I thought sitting over there going, what's this motherfucker saying?
I don't know. McDonald's has something. I've heard Dave Palumbo talk about quarter pounders with cheese. I like sausage and muffins, but McDonald's is breakfast of champions on bodybuilding day, you know.
Tons of sodium. That's why. And it's funny because sometimes they'll say, well, I can only get an egg McMuffin. I'll be like, that's okay. Just put extra salt on it because I know there's salt. There's more salt on that fucking heavy ass biscuit. It's just funny. Or take a couple double cheeseburgers and salt them. Put salt on it. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is what the guy's question too is that, you know, he said food, but one of the, you know, what you're really looking at is sodium and water manipulation, and water follows sodium. And the best thing I use when people are flat is the biggest ass bag of Doritos you can find. I have filled more people out on Doritos and gotten that flat, you know, kind of holding water look off with. I'm talking that jumbo family bag of it.
But in defense of, because I agree with you, but in defense of his question, I think he was talking more about the day of the show. And I'm going to ask what you guys think. But I think if by the time you get to the morning of the show, you better pretty much be ready to go. I mean, you may not be 100% when you wake up in the morning, but you better be damn close, maybe a little bit flat, maybe, you know, you're real, real dry and you have to fill out just a little bit. But if you have to still move water the morning of a show, you're the day of the show isn't probably going to go as well for you as you'd like it to.
it's normally because someone dicked around with something that didn't need, like Dylan said earlier, you dick around with stuff when you don't need to, and that's when you get that last minute, you know, you're in bad. You look good, and all of a sudden you look like crap, and you're like, okay, what'd you do? And they're like, well, I tried to pull water and do all this because Mr. Giant on some board said to do it, and that's how people screw themselves up. If you look good coming in, just keep doing what you're doing and go get up on stage.
Right, but the mentality. For bodybuilding, it's different than that. We always want to do those last, you know, we want to do the, make sure we have all of our bases covered and complicate things that are relatively simple. But I could not agree more. If you look good, run it in and don't fuck with anything. But a lot of us aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of us are fighting to not get that last little bit of that, you know, that little bit of edge. Oh, I can get a little drier. Oh, I can get a little fuller. And it's funny with getting full, because by the time you get too full and you go too far, oh shit, there ain't no pulling it back.
That's why you get the Doritos, baby.
Well, I'm saying, but if dryness is a different issue, but I just feel like once you fill out and you cross that line, you can push up to that line all you want, get closer and closer, but don't get too greedy, because when you go over, a lot of times the floodgates just open, and then there's really not much of anything you can do except watch it. As a coach, really, and this is, it may sound shitty to say, I'm being just completely honest here. As a coach, you better own your shit, because if you don't, you're just standing there watching it, and you know there's not much that's going to go on for the last few hours, because you're not going to be able to pull that water back.
Yeah.
You could try shit. You can get desperate and be like, oh, we're going to sweat it off. Oh, it'll be no problem. And you better, that's a line of crap. You're not fixing a mess within the last few hours before you go on stage like that.
I would say my number one mistake as a coach that I probably made in the last couple years, had been cutting water out when I shouldn't have, honestly. Where, like, when somebody has been totally peeled, and I've been able to see when I shouldn't do that now, but there's been a couple times where it was like, I feel like, you know, as a coach, I probably could have done a better job where, you know, they start flattening out, because we should have, like you were saying in the beginning, Dylan, you know, you look good, you just leave it, you know?
You're like, you're probably thinking, oh, get a little drier, we can get a little drier, then all of a sudden, flat.
Yeah. Oh, wait, and you think, too, you're like, well, you're supposed to, right? You're supposed to cut water. That's the thought in your head, you know what I mean? So,
Well, and I think, too, one of the mistakes that happens, especially with newer bodybuilders, is they start cutting their sodium. And that's not a good idea. Like last week, you know, they start cutting their sodium out.
Well, I mean, or you can cut it, though, if you're going to reintroduce it, if you have time to reintroduce it. I mean,
I'm like taking it completely out for like the whole week going into the show.
Right, yeah. And leaving it out. It's a pretty quick way to go flat. But going back to, because I cut Dylan off a minute ago, which I'm pretty damn good at. But don't flatter yourself, Dylan.
It happens a lot. Yeah, don't worry.
Exactly. I cut everybody off. It's not just you. But I did want to hear what you said, because I did cut you off, and you didn't get a chance to respond.
I don't even know what I was talking about. So thanks, it's probably a bunch of bullshit.
We had.
I think sodium. You know, going back to you guys talking about sodium, and that's what I really learned later in my career, is how important, you know, salt really is. You know, that electrolyte balance in your body going into the day of the show really is a lot of everything too. So there's so much science that goes into it with these Olympians just coming in bone dry, and it's crazy, because I think across the board it's pretty easy to judge right now, because you've got everybody has to be just as peeled.
Yeah.
Whether you're figure, whether you're bodybuilding, whether you're men's physique, or whether you're bodybuilding, you just got different categories of bodybuilding now. And no matter what show you show up at as a pro, you better be fucking peeled. So, you know, if you can learn to get dry and have a full look, then you got it. You got it nailed. But it's, you know, a lot goes into that chemistry with how your body's feeling that day, that the chemistry your own body's putting off, your head, your mindset, you know, your electrolyte balance, all that shit. So you gotta, the cool cats that have done it, been around the block a few times, you know, they'll wake up in the morning and they're not nervous. It's just another day. Mm-hmm. They're keeping everything nice and steady. They know their body needs to stay in a perfect, you know, place, and they can't go this way or that way with their mood, and they get on stage and they kill it. So, and so much of it is that too, is just, you know, where your head's at. So,
right. You know, it's funny too, because going back to that sodium issue, you know, back in the late 80s, I remember reading in all the magazines about the sodium loading and depletion phase, and sodium was such a big deal. You had to cut it to get, I think that's where that stems from. Don't you think, Dylan? That was a late 80s thing.
Well, you know, you got to think the 80s and even 90s. I think the 90s are still the best bodybuilders in the world. The Sean Rays, the Kevin LeBrones. It's the best era by far. And, you know, you didn't have the big bubbly muscle, but you can tell a lot of those guys are cutting sodium back then, because you know, they were tight and dry, and, you know, but now you're seeing these, it's all about muscle fullness nowadays, and who can come in, they're all trying to, you know, create this 3D look, and it's just a different game now, and that's really kind of like why I like the classic. You know, it's more of that dry, tight '90s look almost. You know, so it's
I agree. If I had it to do all over again, and I was just now maybe being 18, 20 years old, I would be chasing classic all day long. It's absolutely so pretty. I love that look.
I do too. Yeah.
Problem is, I can't because I've developed a 49-year-old midsection over the years.
Isn't that crazy? Us white guys, man, all our waists get thick and tiny little coaster waists. I'm like, what the fuck? That's
fair. We did have one more question. It was the would you rather question. But before we get to that, I had something I'd been asking around a little bit. I talked to Scott Stevenson about this the other day, which, by the way, Dylan, we talked about your gym. Dr. Scott, he was just out there out at Armburst Pro Gym, and he was telling me he got a couple workouts in, and he was game planning. He was like, I found a hotel that will take my dogs. It's like walking distance from the gym. So I think he's going to be coming back out there, it sounds.
Yeah, Scott's great. He's intense, man. You know, he, you know, at his age, he still just loves it, and he loves being in there experimenting, grinding. You know, he puts on his headphones and he goes, and I have a lot of respect for that guy. He's a cool cat for sure.
So the cat's out of the bag. Speaking of which, he didn't tell me about this. He didn't even tell me. He just did North Americans.
That's what he told me. He told me he was thinking about jumping in. So, you know, we were sitting at this table eating dinner, and I cooked everybody plays, and, you know, he was fucking skip loading at the table. He's eating cereal. I was like, wow, Skip. But, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's trying some crazy shit. I don't know what he's up to, but he's just like a mad scientist over there eating food, you know. We're all eating steaks. And, you know, Kasem and Paul Carter were, you know, they're damn near in a fist fight at the table, you know, arguing with each other over philosophies. It's just like,
oh, man.
I'm just eating my steak. I'm going to shut up during this one.
Paul Carter was arguing with someone? That's odd. Right. That's just something I've never witnessed before. But anyway.
That was good. I mean, I'm just joking, but it was funny. You got all these smart guys sitting at the table, and they're just, you know, they're talking back and forth. You know, Alan Aragon, he was another. All those guys are great guys and really super smart. So, you know, any listeners out there really wanting to know some of the questions you're asking, those are good quality guys to go to and look at their stuff online or whatever it is. I mean, it's pretty fascinating to sit there at a table and listen to those guys talk.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you something though, Dylan. You know, being that you're in the gym world, and as Scott put it, he said, you know, and we've talked about it before when we had you on, You've handpicked all the machines you have, all the equipment you have. You find the things that you like. This is a question I asked him the other week. I want to ask you too, Skip and Scott. But Dylan, we often talk about the advantage of free weights. You know, that's always what we're always preaching, the advantages of free weights. And there are so many of them. But what are the advantages of a good machine? I'm not just talking about your standard Life Fitness machine that you find at LA Fitness, but like, you know, you've got some good machines over there, some really beautiful pieces, and I know you've picked them out for reasons. What could be some of the advantages to something like that over a free weight?
That's pretty easy. You know, you're protecting the joints, and you're looking for machines that are, you know, very hard on penetrating the muscle really deep and very easy on the joints. Mm-hmm. And you get in there, and really all you feel the pressure on the muscle and nothing else. And you know, when you're a bodybuilder training for failure and going into those hard reps, you know, it's a lot. Of course, we go for that massive burn, but, you know, if your fucking knee's hurting or your elbow's hurting at the same time, you're going to quit. To where, you know, if you got something just working that muscle, you can push through that pain and just go into that, you know, that pain zone and just, and then, unless you're over 40, then shit starts flying across. But that's what I look for, is just a machine that's really good on the muscle and saves the joints.
Right on. What's one of your favorite pieces that you've got in the gym right now?
I'm, you know, there's this stuff. It's called I can't even think of the name of this stuff. But you know, I think Arsenal's great stuff. I think what's the green stuff out there? They used to be Strive Prime.
Really okay.
I just ordered some stuff from them. So Prime, Arsenal, and one I'm trying to think of right now that I can't. He makes a pendulum squat. What's you know that pendulum squat that's in the gym, the white one.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. God, who makes it? Who makes it? I can't come up with a deal. And it's funny because that's not a typical pendulum squat from what I would think, being the one arm kind of laid back version of it that I think of in a pendulum squat. But it is technically, and it's a great piece. I mean,
Rogers Athletic, that's what's doing. They build a lot of football stuff, but they build a lap machine, and they build a row machine that you just press your chest against, and you actually kick your legs back. And I'll tell you, that's probably my favorite machine in the gym. And we got a lot of great machines, but I love that because it's just all lats. It's all back. You can feel it all the way from the top of your lats to the bottom, you know. So I think Rogers Athletic is doing some really cool stuff.
Nice. I know that it's like an art picking that stuff out. I've seen some cool old machines. I was just talking to Scott today out there in Pittsburgh. There's that gym called the Exercise Warehouse. And they've got some really old pieces, like things I had never seen before. And you just sit down in it and it feels like some machines, they just feel so good. Like everything about it, the ergonomics, the way the seat even feels, you know, there's something about certain pieces that you just fall in love with it, you know? And like you said, you could just keep going and going and going. It's a special thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of older pieces. I think it's a lot of the older Hammer Strength, the very first generation pieces are really good.
The lat pull over,
leg extension. Mm-hmm. Can't beat that.
I think, my take, I think everybody used to kind of look at machines as, you know, not being as effective as free weights. And I think really the machines have gotten to, and there's a lot of good older pieces too, don't get me wrong, but I think there are so many good pieces now, machines that I really think that how do I explain this the best? Using a combination of free weights and machines, I think, is ultimately better than just using free weights, because the amount of angles and the different, Dylan makes a good point as far as saving joints and everything else. You're kind of locking yourself into this incredibly efficient path with these new machines to really just rip apart a muscle group that you kind of can't hit from those angles with free weights. So it's a good combination where, and I think hopefully the way the machines are viewed is kind of different and progressing, because I do think it's a really good combination. Now the machines are a very productive component, a very good option to regular freeway. And I think that you're going to potentially see better development, I think, over using, if you have a wide variety of equipment like that versus being limited to just free weight movements. You can build mass, and obviously you're going to get stabilizer development from free weight movements that you're not going to from, specific machines. But the combination of the two, I think, is just a winning concept. You know, you could take someone like Phil Heath, and Dylan can correct me if I'm wrong, but I know the years I spent there, I never saw that motherfucker pick anything up off the floor as far as like a barbell or a deadlift. So he is one example, and I understand that, his genetic, predisposition there is much better than the rest of the population. But the point being is you can get to that level where if you'd have gone back 20 years ago and said, hey, can you build a Mr. Olympia physique using primarily machines? I don't know that he uses primarily machines, but he used a lot of them. I think the answer most people would give was that you couldn't do that. And I think he clearly proved that wrong. And I just think that the progression of use of machines, not only has it become – the machines are becoming so much better – but it's just obvious in the development that they're playing a pretty big role. I'm using a lot of pieces to try to get this shitty back up, and I think that it's working well. And better than chins ever. I've been doing chins for fucking 30 years. Not making my back terribly wide, but I get into a couple different pieces where I'm like, oh, shit, this is helping to pull out my shitty scapula, the musculature around my scapula and things like that, where I otherwise wouldn't be able to do that or I'd find it difficult.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's, these guys, it's a good time to be a bodybuilder right now with all the machines out there. But, still the machines do everything for you. And I still see fuckheads out there that still don't know how to lift and curl.
Exactly.
The machine's doing it all for you. Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. No, I agree. And I think, too, if you're just starting out and you're loading up a hammer press and you're getting three plates on each side, but you can't press 225 on a bar, you're going about it all the wrong way, because there's just a lot of not a false sense of strength, but kind of, when it comes to that, you know, you depending on the hammer roll. It's funny you mentioned the first generation, because if I was just talking about this last week when we were training back at my gym here at Titan, and the first gen is the kind of the Dorian Yates hammer row, right? Isolateral row. Now you can put like five plates on there and women can pull three. And you couldn't do that. The plates top loaded when you had that first gen pull. So, you know, you could still get a bunch of plates on it, but it was nothing. The angle was different and it just wasn't the same piece. So I think a lot of these kids are getting into this, you know, it's much easier to load up three or four plates because they're never going to get that on a bar. So then they have this false strength. They can't figure out why they're not getting bigger either.
Yeah. You know, and I trained at that Titan gym when I was out in Florida this summer, and I really liked that place. It's got it's kind of got that old 70s, 80s feel of like, you know, everybody comes in from the beach, works out, and, you know, and the owner is super cool. So that was a really cool gym. I like that place is it's right out. Shit, if I was him, I'd be driving my boat to work every day.
I know, right?
Damn, shit, dude, I'd be getting a boat and driving to work.
Yeah, pull up right there in the canal. That's funny. Yeah, you got to be careful on those end parking spots. You take it too wide, you'll end up with the fucking water right there, boy.
All right, I'm gonna go to this would you rather question. Then it's just kind of silly, but I thought I'd throw it out there. Okay, would you, and this is from Vache, he says, would you rather A, be able to eat what you want, but look like a national level third call out men's physique competitor, or B, look like you don't even lift, but be a world record power lifter?
E.
I figured that.
Yeah, the guy who's never on camera. doesn't want to be seen, has a question mark on his face. B.
What about you, Skip?
Just because you're weak, Skip. Don't hate on me.
Right? I am weak, but I don't have any problem being, you know, showing my face either. But no, I definitely, you know, it's funny. I had a similar question come up the other day about if you could look like, if you could walk around being in shape and looking big and look like a bodybuilder all the time, but never have any titles, or if you could be a well-known bodybuilder, but when in the off season you look like you're not even, like you don't even work out. I'm like, no, fuck that. I wouldn't want the title to not look like I want to work out. I want to look like I work out all the time. I always want to be in great shape. So I definitely would go with the first option. Powerlifting doesn't, it'd be nice to move those weights every now and then and feel what, you know, kind of experience what it would feel like.
Yeah.
But shit, man, I'd rather just people assume I'm strong and not know any better, because I'm not.
How about you, Dylan?
I'd say A, because, you know, actually, as you get older, like Skip was talking about earlier, I mean, I like eating healthy. I really, you know, eating healthy, it relates to how I feel. So if I eat like shit, eat healthy, man, I can just go. I can go all day, and, you know, don't have any of those, like, energy drops. But, like, the minute I crack open, like, a pizza and a soda or something like that, I feel like shit. So, yeah.
And what about your waist? Do you, I do this. I wonder if you do this. As I get older, it drives me fucking insane. I want I don't want a 20-year-old physique, but I want a 20-year-old waist. I want my waist to be like small again, like that men's physique waist. To me, that's very, very youthful. And I think that the blocky kind of, not turtle shell, but kind of distended stuff, that's an old guy bodybuilder stomach, and it drives me nuts. I would trade anything to get get that. And I had one. Fuck him. Cut his mic. He's pissing me off. His fucking mic.
I thought that was your cat or something, Skip. We can't see anything.
Dickhead over there with a question mark on his
I'm in tears. go ahead, Skip. Keep whining. Go ahead.
I say, Skip, you bring the half shirts back in and rock that shit.
Cut it off right below Armbrust Pro Gym or Gold's Gym. String the top after you cut the trim off. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I hate my dad bod gut. It sucks, but, you know, it is what it is.
It is. It's just kind of a reminder that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty lean. I've got that fucking 49-year-old waist. Fuck me.
Yeah, that was from eating all that food back in the day.
Yeah, that's what I said. Forced growth in the 90s, right? Where all of a sudden we had to eat like fucking horses to get big. So I think that played a part.
Probably. Or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's gravity over time. All the shit that's, you know, just sitting down in your gut, your heart, your lungs, everything just down there like, fuck you.
If my heart is in my gut, oh my god. But it's funny you say that, because if I lie down on the beach and stuff, my wife would be like, why are you doing a vacuum trying to look neat? I'm like, I'm not. Does it look like I'm? So it's almost like my guts must then fall back to my spine, right? And I look lean, so I'm like, I'm just going to lie down. But I can't do a vacuum standing up to save my ass. Like, I'll fucking pass out. That's bad. It's fucking bad. Hey, Scott. Fuck you.
Just so it makes you feel better, I dropped 2 pant sizes in the last 2 months.
You don't know that. You're not even on camera.
Right.
You could be 3.
This week.
I lost a bunch of weight over here, but I'm not going to show myself on camera. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, look at. I'm lean. I'm not ripped, but I'm lean. Lean. I can shave, but I'm lean.
You're looking lean, Skip. What are you weighing now?
The same. I can't fucking gain weight to save my ass.
But what are you?
165.
I'm fucking dead on 224.
That's big.
I will load. I'll get full as fuck and everything else, and then I come right back around. And like the last day after I train legs, I lose like fucking 4 pounds, and I'm back to 224. I'm eating twice the calories that I used to eat when I would try to grow.
Yeah.
And all this GH and IGFs keep me lean as fuck. Hey. Anyway. It is. It's fucking horrible. This stuff, it will keep me so lean, but I swear to God it's keeping me from growing. Well, I'm growing. I'm just staying fucking lean, and I cannot eat any more food. I can't. I'm forcing the food.
You think it's keeping you from growing?
So pass it. I'm just like, as long as I feel good, I'm good.
And it's funny to say, because that's why a big reason, not the only reason why, but that's why I got out of chasing size. Because like, I hate eating and feeling that big, deep feeling like all the time. Yeah. I feel like everywhere I can't go anywhere because all I do is shit and fart. It was just to the point where I'm like, fuck this. This sucks. But now that I'm leaning, I force my food and I get hungry so much quicker. I mean, I could go back to eating shit. You know, I could skip load 5 days a week and maybe I could put on weight that way. But eating clean and just forcing food, I'm almost really at my max. I can't eat any more fucking clean food, I don't think. I just can't, but I cannot get past this goddamn fucking weight. I don't understand it. And I'm doing zero cardio.
You don't need to, trust me. You don't need to.
No, I probably don't.
You know, take more gear.
But it's just funny when you make that decision to grow. Yeah, I know. Take more gear, right? But, okay. That was my next plan. But, you know, you go back to it after so many years. You're like, yeah, you know, I'm probably going to grow, you know? And no, all I do is get really, really fucking lean. Like, wow. And no cardio, which I could never do before. So I'm not bitching about my overall progress as much as I just want to grow, and now I can't do that because I can't force enough food, and it's just odd to me. I've never had that, and yet I'm 49 versus in my 30s when I had a much better metabolism then. I don't know. It's just fucked up. It's just kind of weird. Grass is always greener, I guess, is kind of how it goes, because normally I wouldn't be bitching about, you know, being lean, and I stay full as shit for me, relatively. I always feel full. I get great pumps. I get great workouts. But I can't break that fucking weight to save my ass.
No kidding, man.
I just need a better trainer, basically. Someone who knows what they're doing. I'll give you a call after the show, Dylan. Yeah. Oh, I said Alan or Adam. I don't even know where
he'll
that
came from. Eat some chicken wings and drink some beers. And
I got some free advice out of it.
All right. Well, what do you say we get out of here? Guys, this has been fun. Dylan, much appreciated. Man, it was great to have you back on the show. And sorry we suck, basically. We've got just Skip and me and this guy in black. We can't. You notice that we can't even see his room now over there, Scott's room? It's just solid black over there.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably, he just went to bed, basically.
I actually didn't get no sleep.
It's great to be on. You know, one time we got to plan something, get you guys out a lot to the gym and do a big show from there or something. And, you know, get a ton of the people on the show or whatever. You may just do something big, get out to Colorado one time and have some fun. Skip knows, you know, it's there's a lot to do out here, so it'd be nice to have you on the spot.
And, I was skiing.
Skiing? No, that's I gave that up back in high school, but I do love mountain biking.
Nice. What are you looking at, Skip?
It's turned around. What happened is, oh, I'm fighting it. The sound is coming through from the feed. So I've got the
oh, we can hear it.
Feed. Yeah, it's kind of a weird, and I cannot get it off. So
it's from the, I wonder where that is.
Yeah, and it's the delay. So now it's coming through from the,
because
from
you're, because you're
it's terrible.
You did the
take us out, because I can barely hear you over it, but I cannot stop it.
All right, guys, go check out the details, you know, the show notes. Check out the show notes. You can find Armbrush Pro Gym there. And definitely follow Dylan, everything that's going out there on out there in Colorado. Of course, check out teamskip.com and go to the Fortitude. Excuse me, not Fortitude Training, wrong show. Because it's almost 9 o'clock. This is past my bedtime. I was going to say the Intense Muscle Message Board. Let me try that again. We'll try that again. The Intense Muscle Message Board. And once again, brought to you by True Nutrition. Our code is ADVICES. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Much appreciated.
You don't know me.